Track 2. A Royal Palace Reborn. Welcome to the 12th century. Norwich Castle Keep has reopened to the public after a spectacular multi-million pound refurbishment. We take a step back in time to find out how it happened.
Erin Davidson of Fielden and Mawson was lead architect on the project to transform Norwich Castle Keep and takes Norfolk Magazine on a behind-the-scenes tour. "I'm enjoying looking at people enjoying themselves," she says, as a little girl dressed as a dragon skips past. Erin has been a central figure in the project to transform Norwich Castle Keep into the People's Palace, shaping the design and powering through the challenges of working on such a significant Grade 1 listed building that sits on top of a scheduled ancient monument. The extensively refurbished keep is the largest heritage project to open in the UK this year. The £27.5 million scheme was made possible with a grant of more than £13 million from the National Lottery Heritage Fund, £12 million contributed by Norfolk County Council, and the rest from other sources. The splendour of the keep's medieval past has now been recreated, offering visitors an immersive experience as never before. For the first time in the keep's 900-year history, visitors can now access all five floors from basement to battlements, including spectacular views across Norwich from the rooftop. Whether visitors are exploring with a pushchair, mobility aid, or with curious children, the castle has been recreated with everyone in mind. Original medieval floors and rooms have been meticulously and sympathetically reinstated and are furnished to create an authentic sense of what life was like in a Norman royal castle. To those who visited previously, it will seem almost unrecognisable as it takes visitors back to how it was in 1121. They'll be able to step into the past as they move through the beautiful rooms, the great chamber, the chapel, one of the keep's kitchens, and the centrepiece, Great Hall, where they can sit on a throne, dress up like a Norman noble, or just enjoy the space and sense of grandeur. Immersive storytelling is also at the heart of the new experience, with specially commissioned audio visuals which run throughout the day, using the walls of the huge Great Hall, creating a sense of spectacle appropriate to a royal palace, which in the 12th century was at its height as a centre of power. To bring the keep's fascinating history to life, authentically Romanesque-styled furnishings and detail have taken the talents of an amazing team of people, from curators to archaeologists to academics and architects, experts, skilled craftsmen and women, and volunteers. One of the highlights includes the Norwich Friends Tapestry. Inspired by the Bio Tapestry, this beautiful 19-metre-long embroidery now hangs in the King's Chamber. It narrates two rebellions in the east of England against William the Conqueror and has been meticulously created by a team of 50 dedicated local volunteers. The tapestry is one of many handcrafted textiles, which also includes banners, wall hangings, costumes, and other textiles produced by volunteers in more than 30,000 hours of dedicated work. The reconstructed Great Hall is shown as if ready for the King's Christmas visit, with replica thrones handmade and painted by Stephen Beattie. The beautiful ironwork on the recreated door to the Great Hall has been created by the team at Holcombe Forge, inspired by a surviving 12th century door at Raveningham Church. Across the project, the changes and interventions have been implemented with great sensitivity in order to protect the hugely significant building. Future-proofing the building as the climate changes has also been a huge consideration, with bigger capacity drainage to cope with an increase in rainfall installed, along with vents that open automatically to protect the ancient timbers and artefacts from higher summer temperatures. Architects Fielden and Mawson specialise in the restoration and adaptation of historic buildings, and the team worked alongside skilled engineers, contractors and conservation experts to bring the castle alive for future generations. Erin grew up in Canada and decided she wanted to be an architect at the age of 9. I was very ambitious in school, making sure I was taking sciences, maths and arts, but it wasn't until university where I found this synergy with historic buildings, she says. I went to university in Ottawa, our very historic capital city, and I remember the team were asked to design a new building between two existing buildings just off the Parliament building, and I think I just found my stride. That was a key light bulb moment. Erin spent some time in Rome during her studies, which was another inspiration. I just remember walking around and looking at these buildings and asking, how in the world did they build these? She says. After university, she relocated to London, intending to stay for a year. A quarter of a century on, she's happily settled in Norfolk with her family. In 2017, Fielden and Mawson won the work to take on the KEEP project from the RIBA stage 3 through to sign-off and completion. It initially was being run by Hugh Fielden, a partner in the firm, but he sadly died in August 2019. I stepped into very large shoes to take over the job, she says. I had to step up quite quickly and understand the layers and layers and layers of history and decision-making. While Norwich Castle has been beloved by generations of visitors, it wasn't the easiest building for people to find their way around. So, helping people to get orientated easily from the very start of their visit was a priority. Like many people, when I had kids I came to visit, said Erin, I went past the desk, down the little tunnel to the rotunda, ate some food, and I left. And I missed the keep entirely. It made a lot of sense to me that a key part of the project was to open it up and make sure that there was a key door that people came in, that there's an obvious place to buy tickets, and that from there people can have access into support areas like the shop and the cafe. Now the entrance has a light-filled atrium which shows off the keep's long-obscured east façade, and a staircase has been rotated. Historically, there would have been a single staircase that would take you from arrival up to the principal floor, and that was really important to the interpretation, says Erin. But equally important is how we dealt with the language of what we were inserting to give visual clues to make sure that people understood what was a new layer and it wasn't competing with the history. And you can see that in the simple modern things that we've used. And they're used to stunning effect. To meet health and safety regulations, the doors in the Great Hall are actually fully compliant fire doors. But thanks to the ingenuity of the team, you would never know it. The new lift, which ensures that everyone has access to all the levels of the keep, is clad in reflecting patterned panelling. A beautiful new bridge, which links to the lift, enables people who are wheelchair users or who need additional assistance to arrive at the same level that the king would have been presented on. The shape that we've used is a study of all the arches that are found across the site, and play on that, says Erin. Everyone can now access the battlements and take in the amazing panoramic views of the city. And in the basement, the remains of the impressive medieval pier bases on which the arcade of arches, which supported the principal floor above, once rested, have been newly interpreted with a beautiful light and sculpture installation outlining the lost arches, enabling visitors better to understand this atmospheric space. For us, it was really important to retrieve the sense of height between this level and the underside of the principal floor. How vast that really was, says Erin. Because these days, if somebody said, you know what, let's make an 8-metre-high floor-to-ceiling height, they'd say, that's a waste of space. Why would we do that? The proportions are just so much bigger than what they are today. Throughout the project, the team was mindful of how much the castle means to the generations who have loved it since visiting as children. And one feature in particular that has always captured imaginations, the well. A lot of people I've met while doing this project have memories of coming to the castle when they were a child. And how do you live up to that memory? If people are remembering it, it's obviously meant something to them. The well, originally during the Norman period, would have gone all the way up to the king's chamber, and therefore this is included in the interpretation. When you get up there, you see the well head. But we wanted to also make sure that the well was left open because it's part of people's memory from when they used to come here. Now it's lit and the banding is so beautiful. I don't think people appreciated that before because it was dark, she says. A question still remains, though. Just how deep is the well? They tried to determine how deep it is, and they got a really long tape measure, and they lowered it down, and they never hit the bottom. So then they threw a penny in and counted, and never heard it land. So we think it's more than 60 metres, because that's the length of the tape measure that they tried to hit the bottom with, she says. One of Erin's favourite areas of the keep is the mezzanine in the Great Hall. When the whole building was gutted again, it had this trick of making you feel proportionate in a massive building. It's really hard to imagine it now that the floors are all put back in, but when we took everything out, and it was just a really big open building, I remember standing there and thinking that maybe putting all these floors in wasn't the right thing to do. It felt like it might be too much for the building. As we started putting the floor in, the proportions changed again, and it all made perfect sense. And it wasn't just me who felt like that. I think it has to do with that perfect ratio, that the proportion is scalable because it was perfect. As we wind up our tour, the Great Hall is packed with families taking advantage of the last few days of the summer holidays to see the transformation. As the audiovisual display begins, playtime comes to a swift halt, and young and old look up, rapt, as the walls come alive with history. It's important to be encouraging children to take an interest in these things, says Erin. This is opening up their imagination and potentially making them want to be custodians of history or buildings or become archaeologists or architects or anthropologists.
More than 900 years of history. Medieval Norwich thrived, becoming the second city in the UK to London. The construction of Norwich Castle began around the same time as Norwich Cathedral and was an enormous undertaking. A canal was dug from the River Wensum at Pull's Ferry to bring in limestone from Caen in Normandy. It took 200 years to complete the build. Construction of Norwich Castle's stone keep was started by William the Conqueror's son, William Rufus. After his death, William II's younger brother, Henry, completed the keep. From the beginning, the building was designed to be both an awe-inspiring symbol of the king's power and military might and a luxurious royal palace. The structure was very precisely designed using mathematical proportions to create a sense of balance to the complex series of arcades on the four outer wall surfaces. The sheer decoration of the walling was quite unlike that on any contemporary secular building. As well as being expensive, it marked out Norwich Castle's keep as an intentionally lavish palace. An estimated 1,200 column sections needed to be cut for the south facade alone. As the only palace in the region, Norwich was also the centre of Norman administration, with the King's Constable based here, conducting business on behalf of the King. No Norman kings ever lived at Norwich Castle, because in this period English kings were peripatetic, moving their court around the country and staying for short amounts of time in various places. The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle recorded the only time Henry I was known to visit Norwich in 1121. On the eve of the Nativity, there was a very violent wind all over the country, and the effects were very noticeable. In this year, King Henry spent Christmas at Norwich and Easter in Northampton. A wealth of other medieval buildings were constructed in Norwich around the same time, including the Guildhall, Dragon Hall, a medieval trading hall and now the National Centre for Writing, Strangers Hall, now a museum, and St Andrew's Hall, a former Dominican priory, which is now a concert venue. The medieval city walls were begun in 1297 and encircled 2.5 miles of the city, with 12 defensive gates fortified with great catapults. The ruins of the walls can still be seen today. From the 14th to the 19th century, the keep was used as a country jail. In 1894, it opened as a civic museum. Now Norfolk's principal museum, the castle boasts the best collections anywhere of work by the Norwich School of Artists, Norwich silver, Lowestoft porcelain and ceramic teapots, alongside archaeology and natural history collections of national and international importance. And following a major development project between 2020 and 2025, with substantial support from the National Lottery Heritage Fund, Norwich Castle and its keep have been reborn, modifying the Victorian arrangements and creating a museum for the 21st century.